Please, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to read together like we do at the start of the service, but we'll read the whole psalm together, Psalm 101. And the title for today is To Be Positive. And Psalm 101, its title, Promised Faithfulness to the Lord, a Psalm of David. So let's ring together, sing together, let's read together from verse 1. I will sing of mercy and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praises. I'll behave wisely in a perfect way. O, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Early I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. Thank you, thank you. It's a little different from what we usually do, but because we read the Psalms, and we read them for a good reason, I thought we'd start this part of the service in that way. Now then, I think it's a great blessing to start any service at any church by reading the Psalms. They're still relevant. And because we start the service in that way, we come to see the primacy or the importance of the Word of God. We take it seriously. And that's why when anybody walks into our church, we see this from the Psalms, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. We also settle our hearts as we, as a congregation, read the psalm together. It fixes our attention on what we're about to do. It gives a theme, perhaps, of the opening prayer, which Pastor often takes up a verse from the psalm we've read and prays the exact verse. And it reminds us again of the wonderful attributes of God. This really is like a Christian hymn book. And many, many people will know many of the psalms off by heart. I remember when we came to Sunday school, we learnt Psalm 100, Make a Joyful Shout to the Lord, on which our opening hymn was based. Now, if you went to go to the Free Church of Scotland, of course, you would sing the psalms. You wouldn't have a hymn book. You would stand up to pray and you would sit down to sing, and there'd be a man called a precentor who would lead you in the worship simply from the Psalms. So what we're going to do today is, God willing, look at a few themes from Psalm 101. And knowing that the Word of God is relevant, we've got four titles, if you like, with a letter R. Firstly, and I think you saw this, the resolution of David to do the right thing. Secondly, God's revelation to David, which led him to do the right thing. Thirdly, the revelation, which turned David around to do the right thing. And finally, the realization that we must all have about the importance of the Word of God. Because serving God, yes, it's in the providence of God, yes, it's in the grace of God, but serving God is all about making the right choices. Now, we know by God's grace and God's mercy, we've made the right choice. When people sing, I have decided to follow Jesus, in a sense they have, but in a sense no, they've been bought by grace, the love of God, to know they've repented of their sin, They've put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, something that you cannot do naturally. It's not in a man to do that, because we are proud and stubborn and selfish. Our hearts are deceitful above all things. But by the grace of a God, he can turn people upside down. So Paul can say, if any man or boy or girl is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. They've been born again. And that's the bottom line of being a Christian. You've been born again. You've not started to come to church. You've not started to read the Bible. You've not turned over a new leaf or anything like that. No, the bottom line is this. You've been born again. And everyone who has been born again has this resolution. And what's the resolution of David in Psalm 101, verse 1? He wants to sing about something. He wants to think about something. He wants to sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. Now, that doesn't mean that every Christian has to have a brilliant voice. Of course it doesn't. I think this week, is Helen here today? I can't see her. No, she's not. Anyway, this week, Helen at her school over in Accrington, they had the brilliant Pearl of Africa choir. Ruth Keary's here. They are brilliant, aren't they, Ruth? Yes, of course they are. Yeah. Are they gone now? All finished? Anyway, while they were here, they would sing their testimony about the grace of God in their life. And the ministry of song can be absolutely wonderful. Songs can move us, can encourage us, can challenge us. And this is what David wants to do. I will sing of mercy and of justice. He puts his whole being into the worship of God, because great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And you know, when we worship God in song, it can be a great blessing to us. So Paul sings of mercy and justice, and people say, oh yes, it's wonderful to sing of the mercy of God. It thrills my heart to know that God's forgiven me and God has forgiven my sins, and I'm a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's brilliant. I love the mercy of God. Ah, but David just doesn't sing about the mercy of God. He also praises God for his justice. Why is that? Because David is a man after God's own heart. He thinks how God thinks. Yes, God is merciful. God is kind. God will forgive people's sins. God does hear and answer prayer. But God is also a God of justice. Now, Robert, do you go to court often at all to present evidence? It's quite a sober place, isn't it? Yes, it is. I used to go twice a week, not because twice a week I broke the law. No, twice a week for the Ormskirk Advertiser, paid, because justice has to be seen to be done, okay? Justice has to be seen to be done. I well remember when somebody who was in the local Masons rang up the editor of the Ormskirk Advertiser and said, I'm in court this week, Derek. He should never have said that, because we automatically went down. Please don't publicise my story. I've got to tell it to the judge, basically. And the story about the drunken member of the Masons went on the front page. Because you couldn't ring up and say to the advertiser, don't put my story in. If that happened, everybody would ring up. When you go to an inquest, what a sad story. Did you hear about the student who died in her sleep at Edgehill University on Wednesday? We had to break in and found her on her bed. There'll be an inquest. Going for an inquest into a coroner's court. What a sad place. But justice is seen to be done. That's what Hillsborough's all about, isn't it? Up at Preston Crown Court. And good on Radio Merseyside, they regularly cover that case. So Christians, yes, we love to sing of the mercy of God, but sometimes we need to remind ourselves of the justice of God and sing about that too, that there is one who is perfect. There is one who is not swayed by this, that and the other. There is one who is holy and wise and great. David, these themes filled his heart. I will sing of mercy and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praises. But being a Christian isn't just about singing and being happy. Being a Christian isn't just about reflecting on the justice of God. That's very, very important to do. But being a Christian works in a very practical way. And David resolves, and we're just going to look at three different things that David resolves to do. He's going to walk wisely. He's going to keep a watch over his eyes. And he's going to keep a watch on the faithful. On Yahoo News, there was a great story this week. The police are having big, big crackdown in a place called Drumchapel in Scotland. Is it near Glasgow, Ian? Drumchapel? Yeah? Is it a bit like Skelmersdale? anyway. They are laying the law down. And one poor girl who was part of a drugs gang was riding her bike on the pavement. Now, nowadays, we do that all over Ormskirk. You get kids doing wheelies and this, that and the other. No lights on or anything like that. But the police are laying the law down. And they said, you're not riding your bike right. We're going to charge you. Why? Well, she got a shock. God wants us to walk wisely in the big things and in the small things. Now, don't think that God is like Big Brother. He's watching us all the time. But we need to exercise wisdom in how we walk the Christian life. And my definition of wisdom, I've written it down here, is doing the right thing at the right time, in the right way, for the right reason. Okay? You might do things and be applauded by the world, and you've done it because you want to be applauded by the world. But the Lord Jesus Christ often said about doing things in secret, motivated by your fear of God and by your love of God. And David says this, I'll behave wisely in a perfect way. Wow. When did we lose the notion that Christians have to aim high in their Christian life and not just make do and mend? The Lord Jesus Christ said that our righteousness had to be better than the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And they were righteous in their own eyes. They had laws for this and that and the other. Now we are not as Christians fearful in that sense of not keeping all the rules and regulations because we know that once forgiven, always forgiven. But as a result of that, we want to walk wisely. We want to be seen to live out what we believe, because there is nothing, despite all the words we might say and all the songs we might sing, than living as a Christian day-to-day life. Okay? It's really hard. You can't do it on yourself. But David, he's had that revelation and that revolution and that realization. He's got the Spirit of God in him. And that's the only reason he'll sing of mercy and justice. And that's why he wants to behave wisely in a perfect way. Sometimes being a Christian is like being a really good gardener. Now then, if you enjoy weeding, get yourself a weed gun. Okay, it takes all the effort out of it. And I go into the garden, I've got a little song. Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to weed I go. Switch on my, strange isn't it, but anyway. Switch on my weed gun and blast all the weeds and that's it. They need another blasting before winter comes. But what I'm saying is this, if we're not careful, it's not the great big sins that overwhelm us, okay? Somebody caught in adultery, or somebody caught as a thief, or somebody caught as this, that and the other. It's the little things that, like the weeds, if we don't take care, sooner or later, my, where did they come from? Walking wisely is knowing ourselves and knowing God. And walking in a perfect way. We might get laughed at, like the Methodists did for their method in their religion. We might get laughed at, like the Puritans did. I remember one Puritan saying, or somebody saying to a Puritan, you're very precise in your religion. He said, yes, because I serve a very precise God. He's given me 10 commandments, and there is no way out of not obeying them. So we serve a precise God. We should aim high, and we should ask for the grace of God day by day by day. To walk wisely and be wise. It's wonderful, isn't it, when you know wise people who you can go to. But the wisest person of all is our Lord Jesus Christ. Gary Brady wrote a book, didn't he, about it. Gary Brady, I went to see my friend last week in Chester. Gary Brady is now widowed and he is a pastor in the Cayman Islands. That sounds like a good job, doesn't it? But we must always remember, people in the Cayman Islands are just the same as you and I. He's gone there to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, be wary of the world. Verse 3, I'll set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. In other words, watch out. The world is not a nice, friendly, happy place to Christians. The world can be dead set against us. There were Christians in church in China, I think it was last weekend, and the Chinese authorities sent diggers in and excavators to knock down the church while they were in the meeting. Okay? And there was a brilliant programme on the other week about the CCTV society in China, with churches monitored by as many as 24 CCTV cameras watching people going in and going out using facial recognition. If you're under 18, you can't go to church in China anymore, okay? Because the new head communist, he is dead set about wiping out Christianity. So don't get the impression that we can just peacefully coexist with the world. No, we can't. Watch out. It's a dangerous place. It wants to trap us and ensnare us. And that's what David's talking about. So he says this, I'll set nothing wicked before my eyes. Easier said than done, because different people have different ideas. Well, what is wicked in this world? Should we not have a television anymore because that's wicked? Oh, says someone, should we throw all our laptops away because they can be wicked? Well, we'll stop reading newspapers because they can be wicked. And before we know where we are, we're like hermits. Does the Lord Jesus want us to be like that? No. 1 John 2 tells us that we shouldn't love the world. But we are in the world, and we're in the world to make a difference. And we make a difference by, first of all, singing of mercy and justice, reminding ourselves of the goodness and grace of God. Secondly, by behaving wisely in a perfect way and asking God to help us and bless us. And then thirdly, by setting nothing wicked before my eyes, either physically or in our hearts and minds, wanting those things that we know we shouldn't have. Those things which are wicked are different things to different people. So some people can live entirely easy in the world because it just doesn't affect them. Great. But some people sometimes are tempted to look around and say, wow, we've lost the plot, we've lost the cause. No, we've not. We must remember that overall, God is watching us. He's caring for us. He's guiding us. He's blessing us. And then David says, my eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, in verse 6, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Thirdly, David says, be willing and in fact want to have good Christian fellowship. Enjoy coming to church. Enjoy coming to the church prayer meeting. One of our hymns says, puts it like this, 621. Tell me the old, old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story simply as to a little child, for I am weak and weary and helpless and defiled. And then the last verse says this. Tell me the same old story when you have cause to fear that this world's empty glory is costing me too dear. Yes, and when that world's glory is dawning on my soul, tell me the old, old story. Christ Jesus makes thee whole. David gets it right. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. And my word, that spoke volumes, didn't it, to David? Here's a man who said, I'll set nothing wicked before my eyes. Psalm 119, I think it's verse 37 when he says, and this is a man who went out one night and saw Bathsheba, which led him into the most horrendous sin. But David was brought back by one of the faithful of the land, the prophet Naaman, who reminded him of what he'd done. And so David said, "Listen, come what may, I need to keep my eyes on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me." Being a Christian isn't just something that lasts a year or two and then we grow out of it. Being a Christian is coming into a family of God's people. And that's what David knows. And this brings him to this great realization that we can sing of the mercy of God. We can sing of the justice of God. We can sing our praises to the Lord because we realize that we're different. We've been changed. Now, we could take time to look at all that David talks when he talks about the justice of God and what he's going to do. But I wanted it to be positive today, to see what we can do, how to behave wisely in a perfect way, why we shouldn't set anything wicked before our eyes, and why we should have our eyes on the faithful of the land. We can do all this by the amazing grace of God. And like I said before, David aimed high, and so should we. We should try to behave ourselves wisely in a perfect way by the grace of God and pray every single day for God's good providential hand upon us in matters great and small. We should realise that being a Christian is something that happens day by day. It's not just for a Sunday when we put some sort of act on. People see us day by day. They know what we're like. They know how we act. They know what we talk about and what we speak about. The general tenor of our life should be bringing glory to God. And we should have those friends, good friends, who are the faithful of the land. And be able to speak to them and open our hearts to them like we do to the Lord Jesus Christ. And ask them to forgive us as we forgive them, as the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven us. We should want to walk in a perfect way. We should want to be surrounded by those good Christian people who know the Bible, who love the Bible, who love the Lord Jesus, who love church fellowship, and resolve to be good, positive Christians. Because my word, that really rubs off on people. You know that I take disabled children to school every day. And when you're driving around and about Ormskirk, you never know who you're going to meet. And very, very often, without knowing it, you'll see the boss's son. And if you're doing 20 in the 20 limit, you think, thank goodness I was doing 20 in the 20 limit. You know what I mean? It's not an act. We do it for a reason. We live our Christian lives not to put on an act before God, because you can't pull the wool over God's eyes. We do it because we want to please God and we want to show people that the Christian faith works. Sometimes we make an appalling mess of it, but God will forgive us. And becoming a Christian is all about realising not just of the mercy and justice of God, but that we can aim higher by the grace of God. Now, I'm not talking about self-help. You can be a better person. You can't. God must make you a better person. God must forgive you. You must be born again. But when you've done that, your life will change. It's absolutely amazing. And day by day, we will have the wisdom to walk wisely. Day by day, we can ask God to bless us and to guide us. And day by day, we can see God's good pleasure fulfilled in us. It needs a revelation and it needs a revolution. But the Lord Jesus Christ offers that wonderful promise. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to give this life abundantly so that we can live differently from everybody else and not be proud about it, but just say humbly, "There but for the grace of God go I." Let's just turn to something I mentioned earlier, just to remind ourselves of these high standards. So turn please in the New Testament to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 10, and with this we'll close. "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Amen.